Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter @_ringside rant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome back for episode 147 of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice. He is the man from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. J.D., how you doing, bud? You hanging in there?
I'm glad we kind of had a week apart because I needed a little time of mourning after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think I'm officially over it. I was texting with Polly B the other day. I think today I finally maybe started to get over it now, but tough one, as seems like all of our Super Bowl losses have been.
Well, at least you didn't lose four in a row.
Yeah, but we are 0-3 now. But I do believe that the good thing for us is we got the third most cap space and plenty of room to fix that offensive line and a good offensive line free agent class. So hopefully we fix that, and I think we'll have a good shot at maybe playing the Bills in the AFC Championship game next year and see who goes. So,
well, we can cross our fingers for that. We'll have to hope for the best. But, no, I had a my Super Bowl was great. I ended up banking, as you know, won $875 in the Super Bowl squares by our good buddy GBM out of Buffalo. So good brother Mike hooked me up and won three out of the four quarters.
Nice.
And I had great numbers. I have my system. I always put them in the certain spots and they worked this time. They didn't work last year. And I told him, I said, dude, I never win anything. He's like, well, for somebody that doesn't win anything, you won an awful lot this year. I'm like, I don't know, man. I've kind of sworn off the fantasy and gambling for at least a little bit until football season starts. So.
Big news out of Cincinnati yesterday. We did re-sign our head coach to a 5-year extension. His contract was up. So we wrapped up Coach Taylor through 2026, which I was glad to see. Yeah. He has done a fantastic job, and I look forward to the Bengals' future next year. Moving on from football, I'm just going to get off that real quick before it puts me in a bad mood.
Yeah, we can't get in a bad mood because we're on the go-home episode here of WCW Nitro, or go-home to Super Brawl 8, which we're looking forward to. We're going to be welcoming in near, dear, close personal friend of both of ours, Adam from Bama, will be on with us next week, taking over the hot seat that Devin left last time. So,
basically our two-hour, hour-and-a-half show will now be about 4 hours as we wait for Adam to finish a sentence.
So pretty much it'll be a Top Guy Theater with Frank Bruno. It's going to a 2-hour show is going to turn into like a 4-hour thing that you're going to have like 6 breaks in between there because you had to take a leak or something.
When Adam starts to talk, you guys hit the fast, make it go 3 times faster and it'll just sound normal.
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett was known as a human fast forward machine. Well, you know, Adam from Bama may just outdo him this next week. So looking forward to that. But this week we're got the go home show. Justin, it was interesting show nonetheless. A lot of feuds kind of coming to a head. A lot of good stuff building to Super Bowl. You got these two, for me anyways, it's these two big feuds with the Steiners and the Outsiders, as well as obviously Hogan and Sting going for the heavyweight title, the vacant heavyweight title anyways. So
yeah, and then you got the feud with Macho Man and Hogan and Macho Man and Luger going on as well. Overall, though, I enjoyed the show. It seemed like the first four or five matches was kind of just fill matches, but the good thing about them was they were quick matches. All of them were pretty quick. And then they kind of left the meat of the show for all the big stuff there toward the end.
Yeah, that's kind of something we'll get into when we get into the main event here. You're going to have that with 3 hours, as we've seen the Nitros that we've done. Build-ups to this WCW pay-per-views, and even the Raws we're going to end up doing too. You know, it's a 2-3 hour show. You're going to have your 4 or 5 minute matches. Or if you're Goldberg, your 30 seconds, you spear him, your Jack Harriman, you go back to catering. So,
and we are coming to you live from the Florida State Fairgrounds,
the Steinbrenner Event Center. You have to say that because you know I'm a Yankee fan, and I know you're not despise the Yankees, maybe. I don't know. But you have to say
no, you're Steinbrenner right. Event. You're
no,
right.
I was right on that.
We're in Tampa, Florida, home of the Yankee spring training site. And so we have a lot of Yankees here and former Yankees here at the show. I think George Steinbrenner is there, mm-hmm. right?
Ringside.
Yeah. Ringside, Craig Nettles. Mm-hmm. And then we have Florida Yankee and at this time, current Tampa Bay Devil Ray, Wade Boggs, good, very dear, close personal friend of Kurt Hennig, is here in the front row.
Yeah, he was he's a far much better Yankee than he was a Red Sox. So we'll just.
I doubt that. Yeah, he won a championship at least with the Yankees.
Well,
and he got to ride a horse.
Exactly. Well, a lot of people won a series with the Yankees and the Red Sox. So, but one guy that didn't win a World Series that probably should sometime. Is Mr. Rich Paladino.
It's not too late, Rich.
To the ring. Not too late, Rich. You might get on that horse, pun intended, I guess.
It's the opening contest.
All right, before we get to the show, Justin, you sent me a nice little message this afternoon. You got a nice cameo from the best technical wrestler of all time. No, it's not Kurt Angle, but Mr. Bret Hart sent you a nice cameo.
Yeah, that was awesome. A friend of mine got me a cameo for my birthday. Came, you know, about a month late, but better late than never. And the Hitman was awesome. About a little over a two-minute cameo that he sent me. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a surprise this morning when I woke up and I had a text from Cameo, and it was the Hitman. So it was pretty awesome.
You know what? We have a special addition to that. Let's go over and listen to that right now.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and I have a very special belated happy 37th birthday shout out. Should have gone out for January 7th. And this is going out to a very special guy, a longtime fan of mine, just a guy that everybody loves because he's got a heart of gold. This is going out to Justin. And Justin, I just hope that you had a great birthday, and I hope you have a great, fantastic 2022. And just know that everyone loves you for being the guy that you are. I thank you so much for being that longtime fan of mine. Always in my corner, always backing me up, always cheering me on, always just being there for me. But that's what everybody loves about you, Justin. You're just there for everybody all the time. And you prove time in, time out that you have a heart of gold. And you give and give and give all the time to everybody all around you. You're like a big, giant, bright light that shines goodness and happiness into everybody's day. And just know that's what everybody loves about you, Justin. You prove every single day that you are the excellence of execution at everything you do. And the love, the sacrifice, the dedication, the hard work that you put into every single day, being the man that you are, never goes unnoticed and never goes unappreciated, especially by Tyler and everyone else that knows you. So have a fantastic 37th birthday. Just know everybody loves you. The way you live your life and the way you carry yourself as a man, you prove time in and time out that you truly are the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Have a fantastic 37th birthday. And as far as great moments in my career, I think the greatest moment of my career for sure had to be when I won the world title from Ric Flair in Saskatoon. It wasn't the greatest match I ever had, but it was certainly one of the great moments of my career. And I never forgot. It was a day of reckoning and a day of everything that I worked so hard for finally coming to fruition. So I hope the same dreams for you can come true. Never give up on your dreams and just know anything can happen. Believe in yourself and just know everybody loves you, Justin. Have a great birthday. Stay cool. Stay safe. Keep on rocking and God bless.
All right. So that was awesome, man. I'll be honest with you. I listened to it a couple of times and watched it a couple of times. It was pretty cool. He personalized it fairly well. So, but not to put a damper on the show, but leading up to this, as we spoke about last week, they did a in memoir of Louis Bacoli, who passed away on the 15th of February, 1998. They said when police arrived, they theorized that the wine multiplied the effects of the somas that was in the system. With the research that I found, didn't want to get too far into it, but it sucks when somebody in the business and somebody in general goes out like this.
Yeah, especially a guy that had been a kind of a jobber in WWE a few years ago, and now he was actually starting to get some TV time on WCW with the NWO lackey type role that he was playing. And it's just a shame that as soon as he was kind of getting that TV time, his life was cut short. Very awkward spot in the show too. Here at the beginning, Tony asked Larry if he wanted to speak on Spicoli, and Larry said no. And it was just a really awkward moment. Larry said, "You know, because of his family, I'd rather not say anything." Like, Larry was still kind of like going off the NWO angle, I guess, which was a weird thing to do after someone just died. But
yeah, you awkward think spot. You think you'd kind of break kayfabe for a little bit, and as old school as Larry is and was and whatever the case may be, I'm sure he's still trying to be now. But you got to come on, man. It just break it for a couple minutes and at least tell him your thoughts. And I don't know whether it was that or the fact of how he passed that he didn't want to bring it up and talk about it, because at that point you don't know.
Right.
100%. So you don't want to assume stuff, and then the family gets all upset, and rightfully so. But,
the one thing as we open up here, we got Tony, Larry, and Mike Tenay. The one thing that was very noticeable to me is how small this arena is. Like when it opens up and does the wide pan, you can like see the ceiling and the sides, and it looks very small.
Well, there's a lot of, I've been watching a lot of old Raws in advance of some upcoming shows that we have. And a lot of the shows in this between 90, I want to say at least 95 up to probably about 99, you're going to get in some of these arenas and venues that are fairly small. They're only seating probably 8,000 or what have you, because they want to get into these small arenas. And then obviously for the pay-per-views, they go into the bigger ones, your Georgia Domes, or you know, your Madison Square Gardens or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I noticed that too, where I'm like, holy shit, this is awfully small. No wonder Steinbrenner is runs this place, because it's small enough for him to do.
Yeah. And then we get our first match here pretty quick. It's Goldberg and Hugh Morris, which I feel like we have seen this match 10 times by now, it seems like.
It wasn't I want to say, I have to go back in my research.
Goldberg's first match was against you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. I thought it was his first one that he started the streak with, which I think you pretty much have, especially with the WCW roster, you're kind of run into this a lot of times, is especially when you're doing a streak like Goldberg, is you're going to run into guys twice or three times or whatever, which a win's a win regardless. And it's just like, come on, man. He beats him at 56 seconds. What the hell's the goddamn point?
The only thing I will say, Humoris did get a little bit of offense in, even if just for
not much.
Yeah.
But I think he got a punch or two.
I mean, he did, I think, get Goldberg into the corner and kind of give him some shots, and then that was about it.
Yeah, and this is a rematch from their match back in September, the September before this too. But he tries his damnedest, but 56 seconds later, he's back in catering. So we see another video package here.
I had one note on that match. Tony said that Goldberg just gave him a front chancery. I was like, what the fuck is a front chancery, Tony?
Yeah.
Now, maybe it is a move, or maybe Tony's just making shit up. He's probably Schiavone in it, if I had to guess.
Oh, yeah, without question. I'm sure that's definitely something that he would do. I'm sure he had to go ask Mike Tenay, well, what the hell was that move?
A front chancery.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Thanks, Mike. Now he just goes Excalibur.
Yeah.
But in between this, these matches here, we can see a video package on the Steiners and how, quote, successful they have been as of late. Okay, well, I think successful is being used very loosely at this point, because you're starting to see the planting of the seeds of, okay, who's going to turn on who as far as the Steiners. Yeah. And I think I liked it because you didn't know who.
And Tony just keeps saying, like, they're all fine now. You know, there's no problems. And you can tell the way they're trying to sell that mm-hmm. it's going to turn to shit.
And this is something that I obviously we'll get into it later too, next week, but I just wish they would have done it earlier, because now it's like, okay, it's 90, 98. What the hell's going on now?
I was glad they got another run with the tag belts, because it felt like the outsiders had them forever, and it was good to see somebody else get them.
Yeah, but who else other than the outsiders could actually handle it? You know, you're breaking up Mangan the Barbarian here, so the Faces of Fear are out.
The only other tag team I know they had was Public Enemy. Harlem Heat had already broken up.
Yeah.
But they were kind of singles now.
Well, and you got, was it High Energy?
What's his name? Stevie Ray was in NWO, right?
Yeah.
So Harlem Heat's not there. It's basically Public Enemy and those two. There wasn't a whole lot of tag teams to pick from anyways, but
we got some jobbers or something in there, right?
Our second match is Sick Boy against Mark Starr. Here is our second appearance from Mark Starr.
He's over, man. He's that jobber, man. I wrote down
Sick Bar versus Mark Starr, and I wrote them both with two R's on the end. I don't know why.
It's probably that cold medicine on you. You've been overworking yourself all week, man.
I guess so. But yeah, I didn't even write any notes on the match because no one cares.
Well,
third match.
The funny part about this would last more than the damn Goldberg match. This was over 3 minutes. But anyways, this next match wasn't too bad. I actually enjoyed this, even though it was another short match. We got the Outsiders with Dusty as part of the NWO taking on Public Enemy. And we're going to start to see this quite a bit. We're going to see a lot of this DQ bullshit. And this match was no different. So
yeah.
It proved a point, because they're still playing up this fine bullshit for the jackhammers or jackknives, whatever the fuck you want to call them.
How Kevin Nash can't do the power bomb, and of course, Kevin Nash picks up Rocco or whichever one. Rocco or Vincetti, I don't know which one it was. Picks up Rocco and power bombs him over the ropes and into a table.
Onto
the grunge that was sitting there laying there on the table. It was actually a pretty good spot. And then Doug Dillinger comes right out. Kevin Nash puts his hands out, and Dillinger slaps the handcuffs on him and takes
Attica.
Yeah.
I just, I liked how he did it, but I just think it went way too goddamn long. You know what I mean? It's like, I get you want to make a storyline out of all this stuff. I get it. But is it really necessary though? You're already over. You're one of the top faces, or top, not faces as far as heel and face, but you're the most recognizable person, one of the most recognizable people in the company, in the world. Why do you need this?
I like how it works out, though. They're working with Public Enemy. Public Enemy is known to want to take bumps like that. They're the perfect tag team to take that bump over the ropes through the table like that. So,
you know, yeah, what the sad part out. Is, though, they'll do the jobs for the outsiders, but they won't do jobs for the APA.
Yeah, what the hell?
The hell bullshit APA's that.
Better anyways. Oh, yeah. Then we get my second favorite part of the show.
Barry Horowitz?
No, a crazy Nitro party.
Oh, okay.
We have a Nitro party winner is Chris Hergel from Leesville, South Carolina. And my God, was this a Nitro party. If you guys want to go back and watch one thing out of this show to really tell you guys what early 1998 was like, go watch this little segment on this Nitro party. They have an outside party. There's what looks like 100 people there, hot girls, guys everywhere. We got guys dressed up as wrestlers, putting on matches outside. It was quite wild. People drinking all over the place. That's one of the most wild, best Nitro party videos that we have seen so far.
It was fairly interesting because
a guy dressed up like Ric Flair in a robe.
Everybody dresses up as Ric Flair in a robe. No, it doesn't matter whether it's a...
But it was like a costume. Like it had like a puffy chest. Like a chest.
Right. like the fake abs and pecs and all that shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's definitely... I'm like, oh, I knew... I even put it in my notes because I knew you were going to talk about it. I'm like, I think this is going to be something Justin's going to hang his hat on. So I'm going to leave that out of my stuff.
It was great. It was absolutely wonderful.
But dude, there's another short match up next. Another one that we can really skip.
Well, yeah. But before that, Mean Gene interviews Nick Patrick. And Patrick actually gives a great promo here. I thought it was a great job by Nick Patrick for as little mic time as he's had in his career. I thought he did a great job selling his plight right here, which was WCW wasn't letting him referee and he was getting screwed and all this stuff. I thought it was a really good interview.
You know, surprisingly enough, Nick Patrick has really surprised me these last few Nitros and pay-per-views that we've watched with him involved, whether it's the straight-laced Nick Patrick in WCW or the heel Nick Patrick and NWO. It's hard not to get him over because he does it so well, with obviously his father being Jody Hamilton. You know, he grew up in the business, so he knows what to do, what not to do. And he's that other guy in the ring. He's that third guy in the ring that can really help everybody out. You don't see that very often at this time.
He was awesome. This next match, like you said, we can skip, but I do have to comment on this.
I like Barry Horowitz, man.
Mike Enos versus Barry Horowitz. What the fuck?
Like, I think this is 1994 WWF.
I know. Like I always like remember Barry and WWE, but these guys, the crowd was so silent. They didn't know what else to do. So they both just yelled a lot. Like on every move, they'd be like, ah, and like they screamed throughout the whole match.
As you hear a fucking mouse fart.
Yeah. And Enos wins with a power slam, like laugh out loud, just a regular power slam off the ropes.
A minute and 50 seconds. It's like, really? I'm like, but like you said, it's like you get these 3-hour shows. You're going to have some filler. You're going to have some bullshit quick matches in here. And this is obviously another one outside the other couple that we've seen already.
Get a backstage segment with Davey Boy and McMichael. They continue in their feud, which we've seen this. I mean, here comes Davey Boy's just walking around drinking some English tea, you know, probably. And McMichael comes at him, goes, don't just stand there drinking coffee when a man's talking to you, Davey boy. And then they just start fighting. And then they got to get it broke up.
I didn't know if that was you or Steve McMichael. I could have closed my eyes and it could have been the same person.
Yeah, the accent between West Virginia and wherever the fuck redneck town he's from ain't too far off, I don't think. Yeah.
But we're on to our second hour of the show. We got Eugene Nagata with Sonny Ono taking on La Parca. Now, La Parca is the original chairman, right?
Chairman, yep. Chairman of the board.
Outside of Sean Spears currently, obviously. Another guy that's really outkicked his coverage. But anyways, regardless, we're not here to talk about that. But Eugene Nagata wins with a Nagata lock, 3 minutes, 35 seconds. Yeah, why haven't we seen Nagata?
I don't know. He kind of flips in and out. During this match, Tony announces that Bret Hart has arrived as well as Ric Flair. Kind of got me excited to see those two later on in the show. But during the match, Sonny Ono distracts the referee as usual. Disco chartbusters La Parca, comes in and chartbusters La Parca, which is important because we'll see the blow off to that later on in the show. That distracts the great Pee Wee Anderson, and then UG wins with his submission move. So that, yeah, not a bad little match. You know, that one actually, now we're starting to see some matches last a little bit longer.
Now, why don't you think we saw Nagata as a champion in this time?
I don't know how long he was planning on staying. And I think we've talked about this before. Like if he was going back and forth, I'm not sure what his deal was to where maybe they just didn't. Plus, you've got so many guys that are contending for that cruiserweight championship right now.
Well, I'm not even talking cruiserweight. You know what I mean? Even get him with tag, TV. Get him a tag partner, a TV or something, you know?
Yeah. Then we get our first show of the Nitro Girls, who are looking as only they can look, of course.
Well, without question.
Then we get our sixth match of the night, which is Billy Kidman and the Ultimo Dragon, who comes out in a badass looking all gold. I always like to see what Flair is wearing. I always like to see what colors Ultimo Dragon is wearing. He's in all gold tonight, and it looks pretty good. Real good match, though.
Yeah, no, this is, it's a personification of how good this cruiserweight division is. Ultimo Dragon pretty much have a good match with anybody, and Kidman is just on that uptick right now as far as being part of the flock, and then he's going up here with the stars of cruiserweight. We're going to see him, obviously, later on towards the end of WCW have his feud with Hogan, but
I feel like he's paying his dues here, you know, putting over Ultimo Dragon, putting over some of these guys, but also giving them really good matches and showing the people in the back that he's a guy that you can start to elevate. And I think they are here. They're giving him more and more TV time.
Now, Kidman avoids a dragon sleeper here a couple times, but then he loses eventually to the suplex and finally locks it in. That is Ultimo Dragon. But where would you rank this dragon sleeper? It's something simple enough as far as a finisher that A, it's a submission, and B, you could pretty much put it on anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Well, I don't know if you can get John Tenta in that bitch. He ain't leaning back.
You never know if you try, but it's just interesting to look at a lot of these finishes at this time. It's something that's simple enough that you can put it on. And that's why I think to bring it up to speed as far as current day, that's why I think like guys like Randy Orton, DDP that had the cutter, you had Jake Roberts with the DDT, something simple enough, Austin with the stunner, where you could get something there, put it on pretty much anybody, anywhere, anytime. And it works. It serves a purpose.
It is. I've never really thought about it, but it is a really good finisher. It's just like a backwards type of sleeper where the guy's leaning back and you've got him like cinched
on your
in
knee.
There.
Yeah, you got him on your knee. Yeah.
It's a really good move. And you're right. I'm surprised someone today doesn't use that move as a finisher because you definitely could. But
it could be your finisher. There you go.
I got a different finisher. But I always love the spot when he starts kicking the shit out of the guy, like kicking him in the front, kicking him in the back, like real fast. I always liked that spot, and he did.
Well, that's
here
something that you like. A lot of the, if you guys want to watch a good technical match, watch anything with the Ultimo Dragon, because he'll literally pick each person apart, or he'll stomp on each every part of your body. Something that honestly, that's a guy that like Randy Orton does. He'll pick apart and just beat it down. Then he'll pick another one, beat it down, and it's a decent match.
Hey, speaking of, I said someone now should use that finisher. Speaking of now. We had some news this week. I don't know if your people, if our people have been on the phone lines calling Cody Rhodes' people, trying to find out some information on what's going on.
Yeah, I just got a message. Hey, Siri, remind me on Friday at 5 p.m. to call Cody to get him on the show next week. It's a big deal. It really is. We heard that, and then we heard before that, we heard Austin's coming back and having a match. That went from, hey, he's going to have a match against Kevin Owens. Now the rumor is that he's going to face Goldberg. It's like, what the fuck? Do you really want Austin to die?
No, he better not face Goldberg. My God.
I'm surprised he's coming back in general. I don't see what else he has to prove.
After Goldberg almost killed The Undertaker a couple years ago in Saudi Arabia, we're going to risk Steve Austin's life now. That better not happen.
Anyways, on the whole Cody thing, I just think it doesn't surprise me completely. I thought it was a work all along, to be honest with you, because what, and I told this to a bunch of us in this group chat we were in, is what better of a heel tactic would it be to, hey, fuck you, I'm leaving, just to come back and stick it to you? That's not the fact, but
if his people are talking to WWE, according to the sources I'm reading, then it's not a work, or else they wouldn't be.
Right. Like I said, I told another source of mine is like, he's like, yeah, it's not a work.
You and Danovius are on the same boat now. I'm sure now you think the Montreal Screwjob was a work too. Everything's a work. You, Danovius, and Tony Schiavone.
Everything's a work. Everything in the wrestling business is a work until it's disproven. That's my philosophy. Seriously, I'm on that old school mentality. I'm like, unless I see a good amount of evidence to say it's not a work right off the bat, then okay, fine. I'll say, hey, you're fucking with us. I thought it right off the bat. I thought it was a work, and I'm like, it's probably true, because you knew he was, his contract was up, and he probably wasn't happy, creative and all that stuff. I'm sure shit was taken away from him, from Tony and the Bucks and whomever else. And it just felt slighted, and rightfully so. You're going to have both sides. You're going to have somebody that says, oh, he's got to do what he's got to do. And you're going to have people that are going to crap on him. I've seen both sides. Oh, he's just there for the money. I'm like, well, what the fuck else are you going to do it for? I'm like, I don't know about you, Justin, but I don't want to do much of anything for free.
No.
You know what I mean?
I don't even do this show for free.
Exactly. You know, you guys don't understand how much I pay Justin. we're talking like six figures at this point.
Yeah, he pays me in bottles of Evan Williams.
Exactly. Evan Williams and Flaming Hot Doritos, thanks to our friend at Pondwater Dave.
And he sends me gift cards to Tudor's Biscuit World down here in Huntington.
You say Tudor's?
Yes. That's a West Virginia staple, bro.
I don't know why that popped. Dude, where the hell am I going to go to fucking West Virginia?
Tudor's is a... It's in West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, Southern Ohio. It is like mainly a breakfast spot, but they do lunch too. But they have like all the biscuits. If you want to, they got something called a Mountaineer, which is like an egg, cheese, and sausage and hash brown. And they got all kinds of different names for all these different breakfast biscuits that you can get. They got one called the Peppy, which I'm kind of fond of. It's not your usual breakfast sandwich, but it's pepperoni on a biscuit with like the hot melted cheese on there. Mm-hmm. It works for me. Their biscuits are gigantic too. Everyone go Google Tudor's biscuits. You'll see what I'm talking about.
And just make sure you spell it correctly, because I'm sure you'll get kicked back and everything. Just make sure you clear your history, too. So we're going to see, before we get to our next match, we're going to see Gino have a in-ring interview here with DDP. And basically talking up his match with Benoit at Super Brawl, building that up.
More of that babyface interview where, you know, I want him at his best. I want him jacked up, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Whether he's get taken out by Raven or Perry Saturn, he's got to make it to Super Bowl no matter what.
And then the flock comes in at the end of his interview, and then Benoit comes in and helps him fend them off.
Right. So, you know, it's a typical babyface thing. And, but yeah, it's these next couple of matches. I don't want to spend too much into it. We're going to have a match between Mang and Barbarian. Go 2:20 as we see Barbarian take care of Mang.
Well, Jimmy Hart comes in and does the spot, which we've seen multiple times now, where it, notice how they never bring in the metal chair. It's always the gimmicked wooden chair.
Oh, of course.
That Jimmy puts over Ming's head, hangs around his neck, and then Barbarian kicked him in the head 3 times. It always has to start with the chair and then give the finisher a couple times to get, that's the only thing you can get Ming down with. The wood chair over the head.
Well, and it's apparent that Jimmy Hart's standing alone during this too, so he doesn't have either one of them on his payroll. So,
no, he's with Barbarian.
Oh, he is with Barbarian. Okay.
Yeah, they're kicking Ming out, and I think it's like a start of a Ming, if I remember right, like a Ming babyface turn.
Yeah, I never liked it, but whatever, it defeats the purpose. But we have a scheduled Perry Saturn versus Isco Inferno match, but that doesn't happen as La Parka comes out and nails him with a chair. And then we see Rick Martel come out, man, to replace Disco here.
The model.
As we see a Perry Saturn Rick Martel match. Honestly, the only thing I took out of this, man, is shit. How ageless is Rick Martel at this point? Still in good shape, still looking good.
Yeah, he looks fantastic, especially not for, since he hadn't been really wrestling on TV for a few years. Sick Boy once again interferes, and Saturn gets the win, which actually sets up something here later on the show, which I really like this angle that they're doing here with Saturn and Booker T and Rick Martel.
So you brought up Sick Boy. Do you think somewhere, is there a well boy somewhere?
I'm a sick boy right now. I'm fighting this damn cold. I don't know if you guys can tell.
He's got the COVID. No, I'm joking. For the third time.
I don't know about a well boy, but there was a well girl, little baby Jessica. She's stuck in the well. Huh. Remember that?
No, but we'll move on after that because that can't really.
You don't remember baby Jessica in like 1980 or 1990? This little 2-year-old girl got stuck in the well and they had to like work on it to get her out for like a day or two. It was a national crisis.
Dude, I was fucking 6 in 90. What the hell,
Hey, Efren remembers baby Jessica. He listens to this show. He'll know who baby Jessica is.
Yeah, but Efren is a very knowledgeable man, so he knows pretty much everything.
That's true.
Let's be honest. You know, he's a...
He knows a lot more than most people know. Let's put it that way.
He's a man of many different hats. But another man of many different hats, Kurt Hennig and Bobby Eaton here, man. 2:46. What the fuck are they doing to Bobby Eaton?
Just getting Hennig a win. I mean, it is nice to see these two work together just because they're both so good. Brain says Bobby Eaton spent 4 of his toughest years in the 7th grade.
figure that one out. Go ahead, guys. Figure that one out. Go ahead.
And then as this match is going on, they show Kurt's buddy Wade Boggs there in the front row. I believe Wade Boggs once saved Kurt Hennig from a life-threatening injury while they were hunting.
I think it was...
Or was it the other way around?
It might have been the other way around.
I think
Boggs did it when he was... Was it Wade Boggs? Was he WWE Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
And I think it was some Hall of Fame speech somebody did.
He probably did the speech for Kurt Hennig, maybe.
That's my what it been when he was inducting him. That's probably what it was. That's what it was. And I think he mentioned it where something barbed wire fence that impaled him or something. He stood there and put pressure on and he saved his life because if he did, I think that's what that's what it was.
Yep.
So we're on to hour three here. If you're still awake with us after 3 hours of WCW,
which means we're getting Bobby Heenan at some point here instead of Mike Tenay. Yeah.
Well, we're going to kick off pretty hot here. We're going to see the WCW tag.
Well, I guess we already got him because I just mentioned what he said about Bobby Eaton there. So
I think he came in here a little bit after the third hour here, I think. A little bit before, excuse me.
Yeah.
But we're going to see the tag champs, Steiner Brothers, defending against Vicious and Delicious, which is...
I love Vicious and Delicious.
Which is Justin's alter ego.
Yes.
Whether he's vicious or delicious, we don't know. You'll have to find out.
Buff and Norton versus the Steiners here, and Steiners are in all red leather. I think the last time they fought, they were in all white leather. They're in their leather mode now, instead of their regular tights, bright neon tights like they used to do. Now they're in like the shiny leather stuff, which it was different. I'm glad they switched their shit up a little bit. I liked it.
This is another short match, a little over 5 minutes, another DQ match we're going
to
see.
Well, it is 5 minutes, but it's 3 minutes of Buff posing and talking to the camera.
But let me talk to you about this. Is I liked Vicious and Delicious. I really did.
No, I do too.
They complimented each other very well.
Very good. And I actually wrote in the notes, Buff's facials and playing to the camera is so good. It's usually at the beginning of the matches when he's kind of in control. Yeah, but he'll talk to the camera. And what he says is always usually pretty funny. I just always enjoy that. Of course, we get a schmoz here with the NWO interfering at the end, which is pretty common around this time anyways. But you see the Steiners, like they come in, they knock Scotty out. They're starting to beat Rick up. And then Scott comes in and helps Rick and they run them all off. And it's showing that the Steiners maybe are united.
Yeah, it's definitely throwing it up to really what you think about of this is, okay, what Steiner is going to turn on who? Or maybe they're united. Who knows? Obviously, going forward, we're going to see that happen here at Super Bowl coming up next week. So. We got a few more matches here. We'll talk briefly about this one here because it's setting up quite a nice feud. We got the TV champion Booker T taking on and putting his title up on the line for against Rick Martel.
Martel's second match of the night.
Right. And I believe this is one of Amy's questions, but we'll get into that after this. Amy, don't you fret. But yeah, Rick Martel ends up beating Booker T here to gain the be the new TV champion. I'm setting up a quite interesting angle going into just to Super Brawl.
You don't see Booker T straight tap to a submission move very often.
You don't. And it was a Quebec crab that he tapped out to you see what I did there. In 8 minutes pretty much. And
it comes after Saturn interference. We're setting up that triangle, the three of them. Where, you know, you see Saturn beat Rick Martel on this night, and now you see Rick Martel beat Booker T. So the argument is, they all three have an argument, I guess,
for the TV champ.
Yes. So that's where we're going to go to later. But I honestly remember watching this show. When I sat down and watched this show today, there was spots like the Davey Boy and Steve McMichael backstage thing, this match right here and the Bret Hart spot here coming up. I remember when I saw those, I remembered watching that. Mm-hmm. And I remember this match specifically. I was absolutely shocked when Rick Martel won the TV title.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were, to be honest with you.
Over Booker T, because Booker T had been getting built up so well. And all of a sudden here's Rick Martel, who was a jobber in WWE basically. As the model. I mean, he wasn't a straight jobber, but he, and he comes in and wins the TV title from Booker T. I was like, what the hell? It actually shocked me. I didn't hate it, though. I didn't hate it. It was just very surprising.
Yeah.
But it's like Eric Bischoff says, that element of surprise. That's what is good about Nitro sometimes.
Yeah, it really is. But when we see Giovanni and Tanay discuss whether or not Saturn will get his TV title match at Super Brawl, now that Martel's champion, a little spoiler alert, we're going to see two TV championship matches at Super Brawl. A little spoiler alert before we get to that next week.
All right, here comes my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, I know Eddie Guerrero's coming out, right?
Oh, actually, I didn't even write that match down. I forgot about that.
No, that's fine. It was just setting up going forward anyway, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
I was talking about Mean Gene announcing a certain cameo friend of mine.
Oh, yeah, him too.
Yeah, they did have a match, Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit against Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho. It was actually a really good match. I love the spot where Eddie Guerrero was getting beat and he ran on his hands and knees into the corner where Jericho was standing there trying to get tagged in. But he ran and hugged Jericho around the waist and Jericho petted him on the head. And I thought that was a really good, funny spot. Yeah. I like that.
So obviously you're going to want to talk about your close personal friend, Mr. Bret Hart. So
yeah. Mean Gene comes out after that match and announces the Hitman himself. He comes out and talks shit about Hogan. You know, Hogan, you've always ran from me. You never wanted to wrestle me in the WWE, you know, and all this shit.
Yeah.
And, all of a sudden, here comes this big tall guy in a big black duster out of the stands almost. Who the fuck is it? It's Crush, of all fucking people, Bryan Adams. And no, not the good Bryan Adams. Not the Canadian singer. That would be way better if he came out and sang something. But Bryan Adams in his WCW debut, and when he comes out in that big coat all zipped up to the top, you know what's underneath there.
Oh, of course. You knew. You didn't have to guess. You knew exactly he was going to be part of the NWO, because this is that time where they're putting everybody and anybody in it.
So Brett, hard by numbers. Know, he tells Brett, you know, Brett, me and you go back a long way and you can trust me, brother. And I'm going to have your back. And, you know, tells him to shake his hand, and Brett does reluctantly, and then he grabs a hold of him and holds him while the NWO comes in and attacks Brett. Then Adams reveals his NWO shirt, of course. And like I said, I remember this spot very well, because at this time, I was really paying attention to everything, because Brett wasn't on every week, really throughout his whole WCW run. Rarely was he on week to week to week. Mm-hmm. So I remember him coming out here. Adams reveal, or I already said that, Flair comes out to save Brett, which was cool. And then Rick, after they run out the NWO, Rick and Brett shake hands, which is also cool because they just had that match that sold out last month. So they had just fought and had their little feud, and now they have squashed that, and now they are buddies. So overall, a good little segment to debut Bryan Adams, though, I thought.
Yeah.
That was no doubt the most attention Bryan Adams got in the rest of his WCW career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was, without question. But we're on to the main event here. We got Sting and Luger taking on Hogan and Savage with Bischoff and Elizabeth.
Oh, hold on. You want to
talk something about that,
man? Yeah. Gene also then brings out J.J. Dillon.
Oh, and then he explains. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
J.J. announces that we're going to have Martel versus Booker T. at Super Brawl, and then the winner of that match will then fight Saturn later on at Super Brawl. So kind of a two matches for the TV title there at Super Brawl, which I think is a good idea. I like that idea.
Yeah. No, and it definitely got over, that was for sure. But something else that kind of got over was this main event. It's going to end in a DQ, because obviously, why not?
Of course.
We're going to see pretty much Hogan and Savage go at each other's throats and all that bullshit. And we see Hart and Flair come out to help Sting and Luger. Just setting up. That's all it's really doing, Justin, is setting up Super Brawl for the heavyweight title for Sting and Hogan, and still playing at that possibility of a Hogan Savage match down the road as well.
So yeah,
it's proven a point. I don't like it. I get it. I'm not a fan of it, but I get it.
Yeah, we're definitely leaning towards Savage going face again, right? And that will happen here soon, I think, when he wins the title later on this year.
Yeah.
But overall, there was nothing wrong with this match. Sting got his shit in at the end, got his two Stinger splashes in on Hogan, and before the NWO runs in. And then here comes Flair. Here comes Bret Hart. And at the end of it, at the end of the show going home, you have Lex Luger, Sting, Bret Hart, and Ric Flair all running the NWO out. And it is a good celebration for WCW.
Yeah, and like I said, this is something that you really have to expect going forward. When you're talking go-home shows, they have to set up the pay-per-view. They have to set up these feuds. They have to – it may not be the best matches. They obviously want to leave it.
You can't give it all away before the show,
obviously. Right, you want to leave it for the pay-per-view and just show. So, excuse me. And you can't fault them for that.
You just want to tickle their balls with a feather, which Efren has done a few times. He's good at it, too.
Are you sure it's a feather, though?
I'm not going to tell you how I know he's good at it, but yeah, he's a good tickler.
You only giggle once and then you kind of just lay back and enjoy it, you know?
But yeah, I actually enjoyed this show top to bottom. I didn't hate it. I always like going back watching, you know, 96 through 98 area when I was really paying attention, watching both shows every week. And, it just brought me back and made me remember a whole lot watching this show. So I enjoyed it. And I'm really looking forward to next week when we have Adam from Bama on here to watch Super Brawl with us.
But before that, we have to send it up to Mr. Rich Palladino to introduce our next segment.
It's listener questions.
All right, Justin, we got our usual suspects this week as far as our listener questions. Ladies first, as always.
So Money Mike's up first. Oh, Amy. Okay.
Oh, no. No, not yet anyways. Give it some time. No, Ms. Amy is up first. She wants to know, did you feel there was not enough drama for this title match? So they did this weird do-si-do as far as the TV title goes.
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Do-si-do. Is that how that goes?
Not Nigel, but do-si-do works too. That works too.
Is she talking about the television title match? And,
correct, yes.
Okay. I actually felt like this worked, Amy, because, like I said, it set up the three-way dance that it's not a triple threat match we're going to see, but the two matches we're going to see at Super Brawl. And it also continued the feud. Obviously, we were supposed to see Booker T versus Disco Inferno, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Disco Inferno gets what was coming to him when LaParca. He fucked around with LaParca. So LaParca then attacks him on his way to the ring. And so they need a replacement. And here it comes. Rick Martel, and then that Rick Martel wins, and then that sets up our Super Brawl situation. So no, I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed this little shtick that they had going on, and they did it the right way. They didn't do a traditional triple threat match. They did the one match and they did the next one here coming up at Starcade, or excuse me, Super Brawl. And we'll talk about that next week with Mr. Adam from Bama, or Bama from Adam, whatever the way you want to do it.
Alabama Adam, that's what I call him.
Yeah, there you go. So Brad Stanton is up next. His question is, which Dusty Rhodes outfit is worse? NWO Dusty, the polka dots, or do we let him wear Public Enemy stuff?
He would look good. Brad Stanton always fucking has funny questions.
Yeah.
He would look good in some Public Enemy shit. I would like to see Dusty in that. I'm never gonna shit on the polka dots. I grew up. That's how I first was introduced to Dusty was the polka dots. I didn't know anything different, so I liked the polka dots.
Yeah. You gotta kind of incorporate it all. You get some polka dot Public Enemies, like baggy shorts or something, and a jacket. And then
if I had to do a fuck, marry, kill on this, I would kill Dusty in the NWO. I would marry the polka dots and fuck the Public Enemy outfit, because that's just a funny little idea. But yeah, that's how I would treat that.
You got to make everything weird, don't you?
Of course.
Of course, why not? I think that whiskey's finally hitting you.
I had a long day today. I worked from 7:30 in the morning till 8:30 at night. We had parent-teacher conferences this evening, so it was a long day for me.
I had a long day too. I slept into 7:30. I actually had to rotate as we took a break before here. I had to rotate the damn towel against the door so the freaking more water didn't come into my basement. So. Unfortunately, our thoughts were with Devin Dowling. Devin Dowling. He's actually dealing with a lot more floods out just farther east of me here in New York.
Devin Dowling needs a suck pump.
Either that or a snorkel. I don't know. So the time has come, Justin.
Thank you, Brad Stanton, for another good question.
You can hear that sound in the distance. Mm-hmm. It's that ching ching. Ching ching bling bling.
I hear that sad train a rolling.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
All right. So Money Mike's first of six questions. I mean, two questions. Is February of 98 means we are just over 1 month away from WrestleMania 14. And yes, he does know we're going over Nitro. Don't discredit that. At this point in the Monday Night Wars, did Justin, that's you, or RJ, that's me, believe there was a clear winner?
I felt no. I don't think there was a clear winner at this point. I mean, WWE still hadn't put the title on Austin, even though, yes, I felt like WWE at this point was a better show. I still didn't feel like they had won anything. I felt like the fight was still alive, so to speak.
Yeah. I really think that it really didn't happen, that clear-cut winner, really until that Foley won the title. That infamous, "Oh, that'll put butts in seats" comment by Tony. Because they still had a chance then. They still had a decent enough product.
I think this is around the time, though, into this spring, where people are getting tired of all these NWO run-ins at the end of matches, and there's never any finishes on matches.
Right.
That's when it starts to slide. And I think we're getting into that slide, but we're not quite there yet.
We're going to see half of this damn card for Nitro tonight was fucking DQs, either that or no matches or whatever. So we're starting to see that downward slope to that point. I really do believe so, Justin, but Money Mike's next question is, we see the Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, and Dean Malenko. He says tag team match, but that's whatever. I'm just reading verbatim so you can bust them. But anyways,
it was a tag team match between those on this show.
Yeah.
Right.
Was it a misstep on the part of WCW not to elevate one or all of these individuals to main event status during this era? If you can also elevate one of four, who would you pick and why?
I don't think it's a misstep because there was no room at the top.
When
you've got Hogan, you got Sting, Hogan, Savage, Bret Hart now, Ric Flair, DDP even. You got all these guys that are there. It's hard to shove those big name guys, Hall and Nash. It's hard to shove them out of the top with a Chris Jericho or an Eddie Guerrero. Yeah. Now, as far as which one I felt like could be elevated? Well, it's the one that they did start to elevate here, and that's Chris Benoit. I mean, they're putting him in an angle here with DDP for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
By the next year, we would see him getting world title matches. So Benoit's the guy.
Initially I was going to say Benoit, but I'm like, you know what? I really thought that they should have done something with Jericho more than they did here. They should have given him more just due. He could have done a lot more. And I'm not saying that now because I know what it all turned out to be, where he reinvents himself time and time again after this fact when he goes up north. I just think that he had the whole shebang, the whole ball of wax, where you didn't have to worry about Benoit. You didn't have to worry about a bad promo like you did with Benoit.
But we haven't seen yet Jericho with Rufus. We haven't seen Jericho's list yet, I don't think. So no. We're still getting there with Jericho. Whereas Benoit had already, been, I think, in kind of these bigger angles with the Four Horsemen and stuff, and he'd kind of proven himself as a guy that could be elevated.
Yeah, I get that to a certain extent, but I just wish they would have done more with Jericho. And like I said, don't discredit the third guy in this list too, Dean Malenko. He just wasn't that guy to main event. He wasn't the size. He didn't have the size. He had the ability to do it.
Well,
he
and was Eddie. More that.
Yeah, or Eddie. Eddie, yeah.
Eddie had already been U.S. champion. Remember that in '96 and feuded with Flair. Eddie was definitely there, but I just always think that
Benoit
in
was
the end, guy. When Hogan's there, listen, Hogan in '93 in WWE was telling Vince, Brett's too small for me to put him over, brother. So a guy like Hogan definitely ain't going to put over Jericho or Eddie Guerrero.
Well, yeah, we knew that going into it, but I will put over Money Mike for those questions, and Amy and Brad. So thank you guys for
Money Mike. Actually had two good questions. He usually has one good question and one really shitty one. He actually got two decent ones in this week. He's picking up his game.
Well, you probably threatened him enough to probably scared of you.
Yeah,
now.
I got his address now, so he better watch out.
Oh, he's screwed. Why would you do that, Mike? Why would you do that?
He mailed me a Christmas gift. That's what he gets.
He did mine too. I got a nice little Zippo.
Yeah, I did. I got a Bengals Zippo. Yeah. Nice.
But
I think it's a Cincinnati Reds one. I don't know. Thank you for that, Money Mike.
Yeah. But why would you do that? Anyways, it is now time, Justin, for Ms. Amy's favorite segment of the week. So let's get Rufus in here to hit the button.
Let's get musical. Let me hear your body talk.
All right, Justin. So it is Wrestling with Music time. We got two more additions to our list, our rankings, if you will, this week. We're up to 44, Justin. I can't believe it myself, to be honest with you.
Woo! Put two fours up, everybody.
I'll put one up because I got my phone in my other hand. So nothing's changed in the top 10 since we did last week. We did Glacier last week and we did Kidman last week. And those were at the bottom.
Honestly, you know why nothing's changed in the top 10? Because we've been doing WCW.
Well, that's why.
It's hard. There's only one WCW.
Harlem
Heat and Ric Flair, I guess you can count.
And Horseman. And Horseman.
So there's three, but it's hard for WCW to get in because they don't have Jim Johnston. So
they suck. All right. So without further ado, we got two more coming in this week. It gets tougher and tougher, like you said, with WCW themes. But I actually found one this week, Justin, and I haven't told you what it is. As you can see right now, if you're sharing my screen, obviously you know now. But this theme basically describes every aspect of my life. More importantly, my physique. So without further ado.
Daddy! I'm buff on the stuff and the girl Daddy! Just can't get it done. I'm buff Daddy!
Buff Daddy!
You guys do this stuff.
Simply Delicious.
Okay, you can't get much better than that. I'm going to stop right. Simply Delicious.
He's vicious and delicious.
You kind of run out of options with this. You really do, and that's a sad part.
Yeah.
And I don't. yeah, I just I don't. I don't get it.
Here's the thing. I got a feeling that one will be ranked low, and I don't want to go into all the reasons, but one of the reasons is I associate Buff with the NWO music.
Yeah.
At this time period, I don't even remember that he had his own theme back then. So it's not very memorable.
So my rankings, I'm looking at the bottom. I will put him right above Kidman. Right between Kidman and Bret Hart.
Can you put up the, I don't have the list. Can you put it up real quick so I can kind of,
okay. That might help you a little bit. Let me get to it.
And obviously go to the bottom.
go to the bottom.
Okay.
Hold on to me.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's going to be down there.
I was thinking right there. Or no, excuse me.
Right between
Brett and Kidman.
Okay, that works. So right, Buff Daddy coming in at number 42 out of 45. Now it is time for my selection, which not a lot of different ones on this show that we haven't already done, but I found one. And it is from the model himself, but now he's in black leather. He's a black leather model. As Efren would say, he's a black leather daddy. And Rick Martel, he had some music here for the short period of time that he was in WCW. And so let's give it a listen, RJ.
Sounds like a car commercial.
It's very techno.
All right, I can't listen anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's got to go at the bottom too.
that's going to go below Kidman.
Yes.
Well, at least we're not going to piss off Amy, at least.
I mean, all these, we're down, you can tell we're scraping the bottom of the barrel because the last few weeks, all of our guys are just going straight to the bottom.
We really are, man. And it's...
It's an old country song. I forget who sings it. But if I'm gonna sink, I might as well go to the bottom. See? I got my song in for the week.
Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. But no, so that's going to be Wrestling With Music, and we apologize this week because those are two shitty songs. Obviously next week we're going to be going, like we mentioned, we're going to be bringing in Adam from Bama, going over Super Brawl 8 with him. Don't know how many matches we're going to be watching yet. I left that up to him. He'll obviously be in here with us all show, like everybody has the last couple episodes. So we're looking forward to that. And,
I always look forward to the last episode of the month each week, 'cause we get to have someone on different. Yeah. We've had, Amy obviously, and the devilish Devin Dowling one himself. So it's always fun to get to talk to you guys that listen to the show, and we really appreciate you guys listening. We so much appreciate your interaction with us. And, it's just, we do this every month to kind of reward you guys and give you guys a chance to come on here and hang out with us. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah. So go over, head over to castbuy.com/ringsiderant. All our socials are there. We have all our platforms that we're on, including Full Press Coverage, the Shining Wizard Wrestling Network, Wrestling with Johnners as well. We're over on Daily Smark too. So go to dailysmark.com. We're also played over there. We're all over the place, Justin. It's so great to be part of these great, News Great Networks, as well as all your major podcasting platforms. Yep. We're over at whatamaneuver.net.
What a maneuver, pal.
Yeah, .net. So all
you know who I I hope gets on here with us 1 month is that slapdick Brad Stanton. We need to get him on here one time.
We'll see. Brad may have to step up his game a little bit if he comes out here.
You've been challenged, Bradley.
But anyways, guys, thank you so much. Next week, we are going to be, like I said, going over that. So head over to follow us on Twitter at @_ringsiderant or at JD2040. Send in your questions there. Follow us there. And you'll see all my lovely, lovely love notes there every day. So Justin, you got anything, bud? Obviously football season's over, so I don't know what else more you can say.
Yeah. I will say this. I'm super proud of the Cincinnati Bengals for the season they had. People picked us to win 4 or 5 games this year. We won the division. We beat the Raiders at home. We went to Tennessee and beat the #1 seed in the AFC. We went to Kansas City and beat the daunted Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we had a lead with 1.5 minutes left in the Super Bowl and let it slip. So very proud of this team, and I can't wait for the future. Very happy to have Adam on next week, and I'm just really excited to do it. So can't wait for next week. See you guys all then.